Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. April 10th, 2024, one day before my 40th birthday. We don't have Andy, we don't have Randy, we have Rob, we have Abe, and we have Bo. And that's going to be just fine. Gentlemen, I had to do a little deep dive. We were talking about during the little podcast about how many people would it take to dispatch a grizzly bear. Well, there is that vulnerable point, like that triangular part over both eyes, and it comes to a point around the nose. That's a good area to, but if you can get there, though, that's the thing. That's what
if you don't know what you're talking about here, make sure to check out the Off the Cuff podcast when it publishes today. There's quite an array of discussions going on.
Names of obscure porn stars. See what else did we get into? Slap fighting.
Very excited about Power Slap 7
Power
this Friday.
Slap. I'm all for it. I love that stuff. So that was a lot of frivolity and fun. But now we got to get to business, though. We got the Braves, we got the Hawks. Hawks losing double overtime last night. Jalen Johnson, another sprained ankle. You know, he sprains it back in March. Had to miss, 20 games? Had his first triple-double of his career, and then last night, and you saw, I was like, ooh.
I saw him go down and stay down on the other end of the court, but I didn't see the actual ankle turn live. And then they went to the slow-mo replay, see it just. The only way I could say it is like. You know, we each have that bone on the outside of your ankle. It's like, I think the bone hit the floor. Like, that's how much the ankle itself turned. And it was just, you're hopeful, right?
He looked worse than Max Fried covering first in the World Series. You know?
He was able to walk off the floor a little gingerly, but he didn't need a cart or anything like that. So we're hopeful that, you know, maybe it's just a week. Be ready for the play-in rounds. That's kind of my best-case scenario. Maybe even less than that, but it looked pretty bad.
When is the first playing game? Is that Wednesday?
I don't even know if we have a schedule for it yet.
Interesting.
You would think as show host I would do a little modicum of research there, but I mean, the season ends, what, Friday and Sunday for the two road games, and then probably Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know if, which one will be in.
And I guess we're going to see Trae Young probably, maybe tonight. That'd be nice because I'm going to be there. I'd like to see Trae
Looks play. Like there's a good chance. Looks like there's a good chance, and I know we're going to talk a lot more about what Trae coming into the team could bring for this squad. And I think you saw it last night, Rob, to be honest, because this is a team that shot 10 for 46 or 48 or 44 from three in a game that was tied in regulation, tied at the end of the first overtime, and then you lost the plot a little bit there in the second overtime. I don't know, maybe if you made it an 11th three at some point in the game, you probably can win that thing. And so we can sit here and talk about the record of the Hawks without Trae Young, and we'll do that in a little bit. But I think last night, I think the last couple of games showed there are moments in a game where you just simply have to have someone who can create offense, not the team creating offense, but an individual moment of greatness. And quite frankly, there's no one else on this Hawks organization that can do that better than Trae. And last night, more than in recent other games, showed to me why he needs to be available and playing for this team.
And Braves beat the Mets last night. They kind of go out of character rather than the three-run homer, two-run homer. Let's string together six straight singles in the third inning to play some runs. And who would have thought, and you brought this up, Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale would be the saviors so far.
I mean, look, injuries aside, because you're dealing with what you're dealing with Spencer Strider, but Max Fried has been almost more frustrating. I mean, Strider, when he was in there, was at least doing okay. The questions are asked about Max Fried. I will say this. After he struggled his way through six runs in the first inning, he got nine of the next 10 batters out, made his way through four, which I would have taken the under, you know, at that point. And so we'll see if he can figure that out and kind of reassociate himself. I don't think he's lost the ability to pitch at a high level. So
it's just
a little speed bump.
It's just baseball. I mean, your bullpen's dominant all weekend, and it's kind of been a little lethargic the last two nights.
You've seen this all the time. The difference is you don't see it at the start of the season. If this was a two-game stretch for Max Fried where it just didn't have it in mid-June,
well, of course you could
see it
at the start of the season.
No, I'm saying
they're trying to ramp up, right?
It's hidden, though, if it's in middle of June.
Right.
And it's just a two-game spurt, and then it's a lot different with people panicking. One, because it's the start of the season and what's happening, but also with the Strider. You know, if Strider had gone eight innings, two hits, eight strikeouts, and no injury, people may not be focused on it quite as much.
Well, Braves and Mets again tonight as well. So, and also last night, one of my favorite moments, Anthony Edwards scores 50 points with 50 Cent in the crowd. So Mr. Cent was obviously very delighted to witness that, I would imagine.
Would you have been, like, if he had gone to the free throw line towards the end of the game, do you think he would have clunked it on purpose?
It just,
does he
keep
miss?
It, keep it at the 50.
Can't score 51 points with 50. No, what's the point of that? Did you see that NBA game last night had two free throws all game? They set a record.
Wow.
One of the teams went the entire game.
How much shorter was that game than a regular NBA game then? That means they're playing all night. They're flowing. That's like a football game where both teams are running the ball. That clock is just running.
That's got to be like end of season lack of aggressiveness offensively, because like that means you're not taking anything to the rim.
You were kind of resting a little
defense
bit.
Defense is slacking
playoff.
Off.
Yep.
Touching no one's elbow.
Wait, what was the game?
I'd had to look it back up. I saw it earlier.
Wow, I think we'd like to see more of that. We'd like to see less officiating, because it seems like they're trying to be a part of every sporting event. Now we add that stupid tackling rule, the hip tackle, which is ridiculous. When we were growing up, what did we call that? Tackling. Now, that's just another thing for the officials to get wrong. So, less officiating, the better. I mean, Max Fried, I think he went into his psychological turmoil when that pitch was clearly a strike up in Philadelphia. Then after that, the Phillies do score three runs. So.
Yeah, it was Celtics-Bucks, by the way. And the Bucks have some issues right now.
They do.
Because Giannis goes down last night. And maybe that was part of why there was only two free throws. Maybe when Giannis went down, the game was already a blowout, and teams were like, all right, let's just kind of dribble out the clock here on this one. But good news for Milwaukee is that he avoided Achilles damage, Giannis Antetokounmpo leaving last night. But that calf injury is going to cost him at least the start of the playoffs. We'll see how far. But got Dame Lillard, man. We've been working our way through the regular season. It's almost Dame time, though.
What is it about those calf injuries? They can kind of just stick around and just be aggravating. You can probably play with it, but you're kind of compromised. Your step are too slow.
You also can't burst. I mean, that's the concern. That's where your calf really is going to get engaged.
Right.
And so if you need that quick first step, if you need to elevate, depending on if you're a right foot jumper, left foot jumper, or you jump both feet, I mean, you can really put stress on that thing. And so it's one of those things you've really got to let it heal and just take time off. And there's not really much speeding up of that process.
Right.
You just have to sit on it and hydrate, really. Just drink water.
Well, if you're excited about Allen Winans pitching, well, he gets a start tonight for the Braves, so maybe he'll do something wonderful.
Was that the plan? Was he the plan, or was he brought in initially to extend the bullpen? Because remember, you had just had Dylan Lee go multiple innings.
Right.
The day before that, you had Jesse Chavez go multiple innings. And so maybe it was a situation where you thought if you needed a longer arm out of the pen, you would use Winans and call up someone else. Since you didn't need him for that purpose.
Just kind of a bullpen game tonight, then, you think? Winans gives you three?
I don't approach it that way. I think
go as long as you're getting him out.
Yeah, I don't think he's pitching into the seventh, but if he's in five or six feeling good, 80, 90 pitches, you know, couple hits, one or two, three runs, then yeah.
All right, coming up in What's Trending, we talked about Giannis. Orioles calling up their top prospect, somebody you've probably heard of if you've followed baseball, especially due to his father. Par 3 contest at the Masters as well. All that and more next. Andy and Randy with Abe and Rob, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
And there goes Ronald Acuna right on cue, and he stole it easily, and he's going to get third pretty easily. The backup catcher, Narvaez, threw it into center field.
Oh, it's really special and important for the whole team. You know, when he gets on, it gets everybody going already. He can do a lot of good things on the base pad. Like you saw tonight, he stole three bags and scored. I mean, all the runs we can put on to win a game, it's important.
That's Ozzie Albies stroking the hair of his boo, Ronald Acuna, talking about his ability to get on base and score runs. Welcome back, Andy and Randy, but we got Abe, we got me, Rob Tribble, and of course we got Bo back there as well. Braves won it last night, 6-5. Got a little harrowing though, late in the inning, late in the ball game, but the Braves were able to hold on for the victory. As for Ronald Acuna, though, my friend Abe, 256 on the year, no homers, four RBIs, but he scored like 12 runs, so he's getting on base, well, somewhat.
Last night felt like the first Ronald Acuna game to me.
In what way? What did you see?
The aggressiveness on the bases multiple times, just creating offense.
Isn't that what he always does when he gets on base? So you saw some?
Yeah, but he had only had one stolen base before last night.
Yeah.
Last night he stole three. You heard the highlight there. He stole second, went to third on a throw. Later in the game, steals second, waits a couple pitches, takes third as well. It felt like his sort of game. And we're still waiting for him to get it cranked up with the power. I'm sure that'll come.
That's inevitable. Too talented, not.
Come on.
You know,
we all
some guys
know.
Just start slow sometimes for whatever reason. Again, that's baseball.
But
that's what it boils down to.
In the meantime, while he's not stroking the long ball, I like seeing him run. And I almost tweeted this as a joke yesterday. After he stole second and stole third, if you're a pitcher, just balk, just put him on second,
right?
He's screwing you over so much, he's messing with you so much when he's on first. Just put him on second, and then focus on Ozzy.
Well, if you're stealing third, you're stealing that on the pitcher. Pitcher's got to vary his looks back to second base, and plus the bigger base and Ronald's speed, that kind of makes it very difficult. That was the intent, though. They want to get some offense in the game of baseball, my friend.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like it was him last night. And I'm actually kind of anticipating today, if I can make a bold prediction, after feeling like Ronnie was back last night, he hits his first home run of the year today.
Encouraged by running all over the place last night.
I think it's time.
Oh, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think it's time. I think today he cranks one. Maybe right at the start would be nice.
And here's another one, John Calipari, of course, just out of nowhere, seemingly. Of course, this has been kind of percolating for months. He's been ready to get out of there. Calipari and in Kentucky, I think they were kind of sick of each other. It's a marriage that had run its course. Well, here's John Calipari. This is my dream job. He can't be talking about Arkansas. Did he dream about Arkansas as a Ute growing up? Let's hear from the coach.
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue.
Yeah, so part of his, like...
Does he mean Democrat, or...?
Yeah, I don't think so. Part of his going away, goodbye, whatever, which was filmed on a cell phone, which is its own problem.
Him walking his dog in a baby carriage.
That was separate moments. I think it's an interesting situation to where both sides felt they needed a fresh start. You don't normally see that from what you would deem a dream job. Is Arkansas a, quote, step down? Maybe historically, traditionally.
Slightly, sure, but there's money out there.
There's
not
money.
Monetarily.
And you reset the clock from angering a fan base. Isn't that part of it, too? Well, you've now got 8 years to underachieve.
Sounds like
before.
Romantic relationships,
I'm just
too.
Saying,
I'm just going to set the clock.
You've got
before.
8 years now to underachieve before Arkansas turns on you, too. And you know, he won at Kentucky years ago, right? The Anthony Davis freshman squad, all that stuff. And he's kind of been like, if you do that.
What was that, 2012 last time?
Something like that. Yeah. But if you do that once, Rob, at Arkansas, at Arkansas, like they're not going to turn on you 8 years later. Like they're not going to be like, yeah, there was that, but what have you done for me recently? No, they're going to be like, Cal brought a title to Arkansas. He's got lifetime status.
Yep.
And so it makes sense. It makes sense for Kentucky. Here's where Cal screwed up. He should have made Kentucky pay the $32 million to fire him a week ago. Stop fighting for your job. Make them pay you the buyout and then just take Arkansas.
I don't know. He's been around for so long and made so much money that maybe that was an afterthought. Now this is about a new place, a fresh start, new perspective, you know.
I think
the palate.
Both sides, I think, benefit from this, right? Kentucky's not firing Calipari.
Right.
Calipari says that Kentucky had an opportunity to match and didn't. So he's not just leaving. He's getting a better offer. You know, there's both sides come out of this looking pretty bright and bushy-tailed as compared to how some coaching divorces ultimately look.
Yeah. I saw a headline last night. I don't know. I'm sure it's probably true. I see where Kentucky may have offered Dan Hurley like $11 million a year.
I don't even think they put a number out, to be honest.
That's the number I saw. I don't know. Clearly, you know they're going after him. I just don't see him going there.
He said the night of the title that he wasn't leaving.
But we've heard that before, though. But I really believe it with him. He just seems...
We saw Nate Oates put out a statement as well at Alabama, and I don't know.
I wonder why that one was. Maybe they know something about the nonsense and ridiculous expectations in Lexington. It's like, I don't want to deal with that. Maybe.
I think there's a... Yeah.
Don't know.
Scott Drew seems like an interesting choice.
Sure.
Everyone seems to like the fit for him there. I'm not sure.
You know what? Another name that's emerged is Bruce Pearl, believe it or not. But
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think he's leaving Auburn.
You never know.
I think he feels more. First off, Auburn's not tired of him. That's part of it.
Yeah.
I think he feels more connected to Auburn because of the second chance he was given to be a big time college coach. And you also wonder. And I used to work with Coach Pearl. I know him pretty well. You do wonder the relationship that what that meant to him, being given that opportunity to rebuild himself after what was a pretty big scandal at the time.
And plus, we automatically think that, well, clearly this coach would want to go there. Sometimes people are happy where they are. I always go back to Mark Few of Gonzaga. How many opportunities did he have to come to some other more glamorous program, although he's made Gonzaga a pretty glamorous program, but he loves living in the Pacific Northwest, but it's beautiful out there. He loves to fly fish. He loves that quality of life.
They took
there.
A step back this year, Gonzaga did.
Yep.
They seem to be the preseason ranking. I know we're talking about like way too early preseason.
Right.
Boy, they're like top five again. Mm-hmm.
They just can't quite seem to break through, though. But Bruce Pearl, that would be interesting. I think you might be right. He's so grateful they gave him a chance at Auburn to kind of revitalize his reputation because, you know, the guy can clearly coach. And Auburn's been pretty relevant. They played some good basketball.
It's not like you lose your ties to the – because Bruce Pearl has absolutely picked apart here in Atlanta in terms of his talent. You don't lose touch with the Atlanta basketball scene by going to Kentucky. Now, if you went to Texas or went somewhere a little further away, but Kentucky doesn't – they're not out of touch with the scene here. So he still would be able to recruit this area quite well. But he's doing pretty good there at Auburn.
All right, the ratings are in for the Final Four. Women's final drew 18.9 million viewers. The men's, UConn, Purdue, 14.2 million. What's it going to be next year without the Caitlin Clark? 9 or 10 maybe? Because I think some people are going to stick around who enjoyed it. Because once you go into the wormhole of women's basketball, you start learning about, well, Caitlin Clark. Well, there's a lot of other interesting, great players, too. And some of the coaches are very colorful. What would this number have been, like you said, had Caitlin Clark not
if
made
it's,
the final?
If it's UConn upsets Caitlin Clark in the semis and it's UConn versus South Carolina, you're probably still getting over 10.
Yeah.
But you're probably dealing with like maybe 12 or 14 or close to what the men's got. Caitlin Clark, I think on her own, delivers 4 to 5 million.
I think she does too. I absolutely think she does.
I think the game might be moved back in future years from 3 o'clock tip to maybe 6 or 6.30
maybe
tip.
Maybe more of a prime time thing. Well, clearly the time didn't matter because people wanted to see it, and they're going to drop what they're doing to watch it, watch a 3 o'clock game on
this year, yes. I think the idea that you can get eyes on your game might make you push that into prime time.
Yeah, maybe so. But we get eyes on football during the daytime on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not saying this is football, but I'm saying people want to watch stuff like that. The men's 14.2 million.
I was surprised the number was that high, to be honest. Were you?
For the men?
At that time of night, with those two teams, it was a good game through half, so people stayed there. I was surprised it was that high. I thought it was going to be less, just compared to the women's game. I thought it'd be less, and so I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's a good thing.
I mean, they've had the start time for the men's final at 9 o'clock, regardless, East Coast, West Coast.
It's crazy. 9:20 is wild.
Why? I don't understand why.
To ruin my next morning. That's why. It was played in Phoenix. I get that. So you're tipping at what? 6:20 there, excuse me. I've lived in L.A., and maybe, you know, doing the line of work that we're in, Rob, like we have a little bit more time. Our schedules are not as straightforward as 9 to 5 like the traditional workday. I never had an issue with any tip time or start time when I lived in L.A., like in terms of it being early or whatever. It wasn't like that.
What's cool about out there, you wake up, have breakfast, and have an NFL game. That's kind of cool.
But the weekend's one thing. But even like Monday Night Football starting at 5:20, no one complained. It was never an issue. The complaints always come from the East Coast being too late. I'll tell you what, and I'm going to ride this for a year, and people are going to be real tired of it.
That's why you're going to do it.
Well, not the time. If Duke makes the Final Four next year, you're going to have over 20 million. I think people – I'm stuck on this. I think people are going to tune in to see Cooper Flagg and Duke next year, like they tuned in to see Caitlin Clark and Iowa this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around that kid coming in.
Cooper Flagg is projected to be the number one pick. When was the last time we had a high school player projected to be the number one pick playing collegiate ball? Because we've got a number of years now of European guys or even Canadian guys being the number one pick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while. Zion, maybe people kind of drew eyes, but I think people are going to watch Duke.
Man, I always knew that Zion, with his size and the amount of torque and stress he puts on his limbs and as big as he is, I knew he'd be oft injured coming into the NBA. It's just weird somebody that big can move like that. All right, coming up next. Oh, by the way, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Trae Young may return tonight for the Hawks as they host Charlotte. I'll be there. But should he? It's coming up next. It's Andy and Randy featuring Abe, Rob, and Bo. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We've got Tribble and Gordon in for Andy and Randy today. Hawks getting ready to host Charlotte tonight after a double overtime loss to Miami last night. And Trae Young might play tonight. The question is, should he? Had surgery on his left pinky. Now, that's going to affect his handle more than anything else, his dribbling ability. I wonder how much that's what I'm going to be really fascinated to see. I'm going to be luckily have a really good seats tonight. I'll be able to get a nice up-close view of how that pinky does tonight if he does, in fact, play.
Yeah, look, we talked about it off-air a little bit here, Rob. I think you're going to have him and want to have him. You're going to need to have him. If you're going to make any sort of run in the play-in rounds, or certainly if you're going to face Boston. And I understand how it's looked in regards to what the team has accomplished without Trae Young versus what they were doing with Trae Young. But last night, a 117-111 double overtime loss to the Miami Heat. And a bucket in overtime, an extra bucket in regulation, and you're able to find a way to win. And I mentioned it. this team was 10 of 46 from three.
That's not very good.
And that simply is not going to be enough. And
we could go out and do that. Maybe 7 of 46.
I played last weekend. I shot about 50%. I don't know if it was NBA range. But with the pressure on, if I had to, I don't know if I'm hitting 10 out of 50.
No.
I don't know if I'm hitting 10 out of 50. It's really about if you get hot, right? Like as an amateur shooter, because you can just have, like, for a quick stretch, you just feel it, and you hit, like, three or four in a row.
The rim looks like a big old bucket, as MJ famously said.
Do you get some lucky bounces? Do you maybe bank one in on accident? That's how you get – that's how one of us would get to 10 out of 46. But these guys are pros. Some of these shots were open. Some of them were not, by the way. But to me, it just – down the stretch, you need to create offense. And I understand the team looks better defensively without Trey. I understand that the ball's moving a little bit more without Trey.
More people involved,
However you want to detail it, however you want to defend it to yourself, that's fine. They need offense. And in a game where one bucket nets you a win, you needed offense. And I don't know. I feel like tonight would be a good night for him to come back. Both teams are on a back-to-back. Luka Doncic just tore up Charlotte last night. He scored 21 points in the first quarter. He had made 5 threes, I think, in the first quarter. He was tearing them up. So, you know, this is a team that's maybe not overly interested in playing defense either. So, you know, bring Trey in and let him go. The question is, to what extent are you – you don't start – do you start him tonight? If he's able to play –
yeah, why not?
Is there a minutes restriction? Remember, you're probably down Jalen Johnson based on what we saw from the ankle last night.
Yeah. Maybe.
I like the idea.
25, 30 minutes maybe tonight?
I like the idea of letting the team get into rhythm and with DeJounte running it
and then
start.
Bringing him off the bench.
And seeing if you can hold that rhythm. And then the game after, he starts. And maybe he can get to that. You see what I'm saying? Like, I have this big topic I'm going to do on my show tomorrow night. In the basis...
ABTL?
Yeah. Well, 92.9 The Game tonight featuring the ABTL. That's right. we ask and we project the idea that NFL quarterbacks are much more benefited by sitting and learning and watching for a little bit of time. Not every quarterback is afforded that opportunity, right? Bryce Young had to start.
I wonder what the actual truth is behind that. It sounds good in principle. I'm sure it's benefited some guys, but sometimes just baptism by fire, throw them in the water, swim or die also.
I'm not saying it's reality. I'm saying there's a premise of an appearance that guys benefit. Yeah. We talk about Jordan Love. You talk about Patrick Mahomes for a year. I mean, you can run through the list of guys – even if it's for half of a season or part of a season that sat and watched and learned. And the question I have, and I'm going to deep dive it tomorrow night, is there any opportunity that Trae Young has actually learned by sitting on the sidelines for 25 games or whatever the number ended up being?
Learned what precisely?
A lot of different things. Weaknesses in his game, how to improve incorporating his teammates.
That's a good question.
The offensive flow, has he been able to see something that Quinn has been trying to get him to do that maybe he wasn't doing? Is there an advancement by viewing?
What, as far as what, basketball IQ maybe? Not just going on sheer talent?
I don't want to use the term, but like understanding the process.
Yeah. Maybe, but how engaged was he in watching games when he wasn't?
And if, by the way, if that happens, can he actually input that into his game, or will that
that's
be erased when he gets on the floor?
Get it, to intellectually understand it, and then to physically apply
to
it.
To see that
things.
It might work and actually making it work are not the same
thing. Yeah, it just makes me wonder, big picture, what's going to happen in the offseason. This is going to be a fascinating offseason for the Hawks.
It definitely is. And look,
because he and DeJounte Murray have zero chemistry on the floor together. We've that's been established.
Is there a way to make it work? Whether you're talking about their time on the floor together is minimalized.
Right.
Is there a way to make it work? And I'll say this, like, because this is where I do place blame on Trae Young. And I'm sure there are people who are going to tweet at me and say, you don't know what you're talking about, you're wrong. The way this should have worked, and it very clearly didn't, won't, is that Trey became off-ball guard. His shooting abilities should have allowed him to become one of the best two guards in the league.
And his dad has always been saying how he played off-ball all the time at Oklahoma.
Well, it didn't happen here in the league. I think we've seen he would have had fair opportunity without the ball in his hands with DeJounte running point. DeJounte had a triple-double last night, 13 assists. He spreads the ball around. The offense flows. The offense moves. If it were going to work, one of these two ball-dominant guards becoming an off-ball guard, it had to be Trey. They kind of tried it for like 8 games. It wasn't taking.
No.
That's on Trey. Like, pick whoever you want to move forward with the franchise. The fact that it did not work with both of these guys combining, in my opinion, that's on Trey.
Sounds like a wrestling match. Loser leaves town. Right?
Maybe they can slap fight for it.
It's fascinating, man. What would this town's reaction be? Oh, we let another superstar go. Oh, just like Dominique, blah, 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 blah.
Here's my thing.
I just want this team to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd like to see them at least have a chance to taste a championship. As currently constituted, you know that's not going to happen. So something's going to have to happen drastically.
What if they randomly click for – what if they somehow get into the playoffs, run through the play-in round again? They're undefeated in those play-in games. What if they somehow go – look, we just beat Boston after coming back from down 30. We just beat them a second time on a game winner from DeJounte, right? We beat them twice here at State Farm.
Well, see, that's
what if something happens where they go in as the 8 seed and beat the number 1 seed in Boston Celtics?
Trey and DeJounte just
– whatever.
Somehow it just happens. Well, that brings me to your fundamental point. You're talking about doing that deep dive tomorrow night. What did Trey learn? He's sitting there. Was he watching, paying attention to nuances that he may not notice when he's actually in the game? Now that he's away from it for 20, 25 games, how much did he try to apply that watching film, watching tendencies of DeJounte? Would Trey do that? I don't know.
The ultimate question, and
know what I'm saying though, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The ultimate question I'll have, and again, this is tomorrow night, I'm going to take calls on it, is like, can the team look the way they've looked, play the way they've played with Trey in the game?
Yeah.
That's what we're really asking.
And that's on Trey. Like you said,
that's right.
On Trey.
That's right. And if the answer is no, that would be the second time, in my opinion, that Trey hasn't been able to adjust his game to better serve the team. And that's where it becomes an issue, because I don't think you're better without Trey. I've been on record saying I do not think you're better. I think look, DeJounte was 3 of 12 from 3 last night. Like, we need better shooting. Trey gives you better shooting. We needed a bucket down the stretch. Trey gets you a bucket down the stretch.
What does Trey do to try to get better? All your great players, they do something. Well, I have a weakness here. It may not be noticeable to people watching the game, but I know this is a weakness. I have to address this. Does Trey look at things that way?
Right. And it would start with moving without the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the offense that he runs as a ball-dominant point guard, he'll pass the ball to someone and go stand in a corner.
And this thing is gifted passer. We see that elite passer, certainly.
He had 10.8 assists on the season. He's averaging 10.8 assists on the season
down. I would have a hard time with this team trading Trae Young, because I love Trae. I see all of his limitations. But it's just, if you do that, it almost sounds like you're blowing it up and rebuilding. Well, how long that takes in the NBA.
But you're
not getting anywhere right now either.
With respect to what DeJounte Murray has been able to do, how the team has looked, and what DeJounte is individually himself as a player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's further away from being an elite player in this league than Trey is.
I agree with that.
And that is why I'm hesitant to move off of Trey.
Yeah.
Is because you're going to need multiple elites, by the way. Not one elite player. Multiple elite players.
Dante's just a step below that.
It's not far. Yeah. But it's enough to where I don't know if you can get over a hump with DeJounte as a centerpiece.
No, I think he is what he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, no, he's not going to all of a sudden elevate himself to be one of those
elite players.
If Trey
can take what Trey does best and run the system that we've been running with DeJounte, marriage his skill set versus what the team is hoping to do under Quinn Snyder, you're getting the best of both worlds.
That's the key name right there, because I love Quinn Snyder. I think he's a very good basketball mind, clearly, but he's also a brilliant psychologist. And if anyone can get to Trey to appeal to him to do that,
and
would
that's
be
why
Snyder.
I'm interested to see if he plays tonight, if he starts, or if the team gets into a rhythm and then brings him in to kind of weave it in. That's what I'm looking at tonight, if he's available.
Oh, wait a minute. I just saw this coming up in No Huddle. UFL kicker fractures his neck. This is a guy that made a back-to-back 60-plus yards.
No, 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 not that kicker. Say a different kicker.
Well, good for that. Well, I don't wish him to have a broken neck either. But
I got some thoughts on this.
Holy smokes. We're going to come back and hear Abe's thoughts. We have no choice. It's Andy and Randy, Tribble and Abe in Sports Radio 1990 Game.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
My wedding song. Welcome back. Andy and Randy got Tribble and Abe in Sports Radio 929 The Game. Let this percolate for a second. Wait for the drums. Alan Winans on the mound for the Braves tonight as they try to make it two in a row over the Mets. 7:20 first pitch. Weather looks kind of promising. We'll wait and see. Hawks hosting Charlotte tonight. I will be there. Will we see Trey Young? He has been cleared to practice. Might see him tonight as the Hawks get ready for the play-in. Have a few more games left before that happens, and that's going to be Chicago, isn't it, in the play-in round there.
We'll find out slightly if there's a chance that that game could be here.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much they'd have to go 0-3. You'd have to go. I mean, there are ways to get there. But
enough of that. Sports is all about the NFL. It's all about football. Let's go on the huddle. All right. Free agency. Falcons do have some needs. We need a pass rusher, we need a cornerback, and we need a safety. There's a lot of safeties out there, isn't there?
Some corners as well. Young, talented guys that maybe – you know what I've been surprised most by is the free agent cornerback market. The prices are not crazy.
They're not crazy.
You don't have much money.
Maybe because it's a bit saturated too, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there.
And they're super talented. Yep. That's part of the question too. You just take all these talented corners and move them to safety at the end of the career. That's happening a lot too.
I still wonder what's going to happen on draft day. I just have no idea what the Falcons are going to do. All the mocks means nothing to me. Terry Fontenot famously always goes for best player available. That sort of route. I don't know.
I have a couple of ideas that I think are set and a couple of ideas that aren't. I don't think drafting at 8 is set.
No, I do not either.
I don't think taking Dallas Turner is set. I do think you're still taking the best pass rusher.
I like what you said yesterday, and it gave me a little food for thought, talking about Dallas Turner. If he was that coveted and generational, wouldn't he go before number 8? And you don't see him mocked anywhere before number 8, do you?
Part of it does come down to need a little bit. But
certainly.
Arizona could use a pass rusher, right? J.J. Watt's out of there.
Right.
He's done. If he was viewed the way that Myles Garrett was viewed, and Myles Garrett went one overall, he would go there.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people believing that the New England Patriots are not going to take quarterback. Maybe they trade out of it. If he was believed to be that dude.
The Patriots at three.
Three,
right.
Three. If he was believed to be that dude, the Patriots would take him at three.
Maybe
what does
so.
It say that he's not?
Yeah. But player evaluation in the NFL is not the most exact science. We've learned that time and time and time again. Jaguars. Josh Allen got paid 5 years, $188 million guaranteed. I wish we could have a Josh Allen up here in the Falcons uniform.
Drafting pass rusher sometimes pays off,
it
is what you're
pay
telling
off.
Me.
Yes, yeah. This paid off. He got to his second contract, right? How about this? This is fascinating because we've talked about over the years. There's been an arms race. A lot of money thrown into R&D for helmets. Now, the NFL is introducing more position-specific helmet options for 2024. I think the quarterbacks have two options, and other players have more than two options from what I've seen.
That was last year, there were two options. There's more options this year.
There's more options for the quarterback this year.
And for offensive and defensive linemen. The weak spot, if you will, because the quarterback helmet is to protect the back of your head from hitting the ground.
And I guess you have to have the infrastructure in there for communications
right.
as well.
There's other protections as well, but the emphasis on protection of the quarterback helmet is in the back of the head. It's the opposite for offensive and defensive linemen. The emphasis on protection is in the forehead, the front, because as you push towards the person in front of you, you clash heads. And so the next step now is the receivers, the defensive backs, and the running backs.
Right.
Where is the need, the emphasis for protection? What part of the helmet? And they're saying they're going to do that research throughout the course this year and hope to have position helmets for those guys next year. But you've got a lot of options now to help boost whatever you can.
A lot of companies are pouring a lot of money into trying to figure out what the perfect helmet. Funny thing is, Shut. You remember the old Shut helmets?
Sure.
3 years ago, they apparently came out with the one that was like the gold standard. Now that helmet is banned. That shows you, I guess, the innovation involved.
Yeah,
that helmet, you can't wear that helmet anymore.
Vicious, V-I-C-I, whatever that company is, and then I think Riddell, out of the shadows, back in front.
What about bike? Where are the bike helmets? Are they still concentrating on their coaching shorts? I had a pair of those. I had the navy blue bike coaching shorts with my little skinny legs in them back in the day. The chicks dug it. The Cowboys, what direction are they going in? This is crazy. Dak Prescott, they haven't offered him an extension. He's going to be a free agent after next year. They're not going to be able to pay CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and Micah Parsons. So
it's definitely an odd man out situation.
I think it might be Dak.
Well, so that's the question, is who is most easily either replaced?
Yeah. Micah Parsons, maybe not necessarily so. CeeDee Lamb, I would think so.
So that's the thing for me. Well, it starts here. In a best case scenario, you can find a quarterback that's not Dak, right? Because not everyone believes that Dak is all that good to begin with, right? The problem is,
Is he second tier?
Sure. But that's the problem is, if you can't win with him, the big thing, ultimately, what are we doing, right? That's part of it. But the other aspect of it is we've seen around the league how franchises can fall into quarterback purgatory.
Oh.
And if you move on from Dak and you make a mistake, where are the Cowboys now?
Hmm. Well, the Cowboys.
I think it's a lot easier to develop or find a receiver than it is the pass rusher, which we know we have issues with here in Atlanta, or a quarterback.
And you're also,
I would be moving on from CeeDee Lamb if I were Jerry Jones.
Yep. And the thing is, being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, that's a whole different animal than the quarterback for most other teams, too. Just for whatever reason, even though they haven't won anything in 30 years, that's still a thing. You know?
Their backups are Cooper Rush and Trey Lance.
Cooper Rush played well, but
fine. But you're not
in a small sample size.
There's
I'm not saying
no
you
world
be the
in which you move on from Dak and hand the job to either of those guys.
No. But what do we know? What do we know about Trey Lance? Oh, we know nothing of Trey Lance.
I know he's not starting for the Cowboys. He can't beat out Cooper Rush. He's definitely not starting. And so it's a situation where you're probably not going to be bad enough. And this is what the Falcons are in, right?
Yeah.
Falcons at 8 weren't even bad enough to get a quarterback that they desired. The Cowboys, where are they going to be drafting next year? They're not going to be in position to get a quarterback.
Probably not. They'll be just good enough to keep them out of that situation, which is frustrating. Now, I love this dude. Destroying, he's a popular YouTube kicker. And he finally got a UFL gig, but he fractured his neck trying to make a tackle this past weekend. I love this guy. He went viral. He was just routinely making 70-yard kicks. Granted, you know, he wasn't in pads, didn't have a rush going, but you saw what a giant leg he had. And this dude's a brother, too. You don't have many brother kickers. And he was very fun to watch, great personality. I didn't see this. I just heard about this. That kind of makes me sad because I follow him and I like him.
So here's what happened. His whole story is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He gave up kicking at college because he was starting to monetize his YouTube.
That's exactly right.
And this was a little bit before this NIL stuff and however it works. Yeah. So he chose to follow the path.
Yeah, he's making so much money. I don't have time for football. I'm making – look at all these commas in this check I have.
And so he gave up a potential path to being a pro kicker.
Yep.
He gets popular through all of the stuff he's done with tricks – kicks, and then obviously the one-on-ones most recently has been a huge boost to his YouTube viewership. One-on-ones, receiver versus DB battles,
right?
O-line versus D-line battles, top recruit, all that stuff. And so he gets a call from The Rock, says, you want an opportunity to kick again? He goes and kicks for the Brahmas and tried to make a play and fractured his neck, so... Well, we'll see. Hopefully not the end for Destroying, because I've been a big fan of his YouTube stuff for a while.
I enjoy him a lot, certainly. Hey, we're going to have Grant McCauley coming up. By the way, that'll be brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate, by the way. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And I can't wait to get into this with Grant McCauley talking about the arm injuries.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that. Real quick, one more NFL story that happened after I printed out the rundown, Rob. Wanted to make sure you saw this. The Eagles, week one game. In Brazil, they now have an opponent. It was announced earlier today. Go Pack, go!
Oh, really?
Heading down week one, so it's going to be the Packers and Eagles' first ever NFL game in Latin America.
It's That's not during Carnival, is it? When is Carnival?
Probably not then, but
you know,
it's going to be streamed exclusively on Peacock.
Oh, goody. So, well,
it's the Friday, so it'll be the second game of the NFL season.
February 17th is Carnival, so we don't have to worry about the players getting in that mix down there, that Caligula mix down there.
Until
that
they hold the Super Bowl in Sao Paulo.
Orgy of sin.
Have you ever been?
Brazil, I have not.
Nope. Well, I meant like specifically Carnival, but it's Brazil in general.
I've not been to Brazil in general, nope.
What's the furthest south you've been?
Costa Rica.
Don't say Key West. Okay,
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica,
yeah.
All right.
Nicaragua around in there.
Yeah.
That's about it, yeah.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I just had a brain fart. I'm thinking about Grant McCauley. I'm thinking about the arm thing. You know what the Red Sox are doing that's kind of innovative? A lot of teams are kind of doing this. They're de-emphasizing the fastball. They're not throwing it as much. Because they see what the metrics say. You're not making as hard contact with breaking pitches and sliders and off-speed stuff, because fastballs, that's what gets hit the furthest and the hardest. So going to be interesting to talk about that with Grant McCauley.
It sounds a little troubling to do that with the porches in left and right at Fenway.
You
don't need a lot of power provided to pop one.
That is true. See, that's where
shallow fly balls
are going on there. You can go down a wormhole with that. But it's also about making good contact, too. You know, the ball will break away from the sweet spot of the
Better
bat.
Better boost your fielders.
Boost your fielders, absolutely. All right, going to come back. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley, who is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Grant McCauley coming up next. We're going to talk a lot of baseball, getting that wormhole. Tribble and Abe in for Andy and Randy, Sports Radio, 1990 Game. Special teams, special plays, special players. That's what we are here at Sports Radio, 1990 Game. Tribble and Abe in for Andy Randy. We got Bo Johnson back there behind the glass as well. And we also now have one of my all-time favorite people, Grant McCauley. Of course, Grant McCauley brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home from Mark Spain Real Estate, markspain.com. Grant, good morning, sir.
Afternoon, hey, good morning or good afternoon, whatever. It depends. If somebody's listening to the Central Time Zone, they're still in the morning.
All right. 166 players started the season on the DL. 132 were pitchers. Everybody's concerned about the outbreak of it's a pandemic is what it is, of Tommy John surgeries. I don't think a whole lot can be done unless you address it when they're young players. Don't play 100 games a year. It's due to overuse. I mean, the arm is it's like a high-performance sports car. You know, you redline enough, it's eventually going to break down. I mean, what can possibly be done?
Yeah, I don't know that there's one answer to that, and I don't know because we're not talking about one type of injury. Now, is it prevalent to see elbow problems?
Yes.
Absolutely, and I think everybody recognizes that that's an issue. And I would look at it more so than overuse or even, you know, at the youth level. Yeah, you can set expectations and all of that, but I think that the sport and we as a society are fascinated with what can these guys do that is the most that they can possibly give. I mean, that's what this fascination with velocity has created. I mean, watching it, it's exciting. I mean, it's fun to watch somebody go out there and throw 100 miles an hour or close to it, you know, and break off nasty 91 mile an hour sliders. But I mean, throwing, as you mentioned, is not a natural motion for the arm to begin with. So ramping it up to, you know, turning the volume up to 11, it's going to take a toll eventually. But I don't know that there's anything that you can do to predict exactly when these guys are going to go through it. But I think we can all recognize that it is a problem. How do you fix it, though? I think is one of the most difficult questions that we're going to continue to ask, because I'm not sure that there's one way to get it done.
Grant, I'm a huge fan of sports conspiracy theories, and not that I'm necessarily trying to start one here, but maybe I am. Spencer Strider went down to see Dr. Meister there in Arlington, Texas, but the Braves are not providing an update until the weekend. Why might the delay be?
Well, I think that the most obvious thing is that they could just announce that he's had whatever surgical procedure that he's going to have to correct this elbow issue. And as somebody who's been around baseball for a long time, and I know, you know, both of you have seen more than your fair share of injuries and covering these stories, when you have UCL damage, so the ulnar collateral ligament in the elbow, typically there's only one thing that can be done. And as I've talked to pitchers over the years about it, if it's even like a 0.03% tear of the UCL, a lot of guys, they just go ahead and get it done, because once it's torn, like, it's not going to untear and heal itself naturally and not have a recurrence. So that typically is the outcome of it. If it's a sprain, that by medical definition, Abe, as I'm sure you know, is a form of a tear. So how exactly, to what extent, what options are there for Spencer Strider? I don't know what they're exploring, but it seems to me that the most likely outcome of all of this and waiting to update it into the weekend would be that the decision was made, he'll undergo the surgery, and then begin that long return. But none of that has been confirmed yet. That is just my read on the situation.
I guess maybe this could be a problem that ultimately just takes care of itself due to the evolution of a game. You know, some things that aren't in style are now in style, and vice versa. I'm seeing, like, the Red Sox and several teams are starting to de-emphasize the fastball a little bit, because if you see enough guys throwing 100, hitters catch up to it. You know, you're used to seeing it. Well, the Red Sox and I think maybe the Dodgers, maybe Padres, they're de-emphasizing the fastball a little bit, throwing maybe a few more breaking balls, though throwing a slider is not necessarily great on your elbow either.
Right.
Could that be a way to kind of mitigate it?
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, it would take time to really study the results of that kind of thing. But I will say this about velocity. I mean, you know, yeah, hitters are going to time it up, you know, and eventually. I mean, I remember Eddie Matthews had that great quote of, eventually, you know, I can time a jet plane if I see it enough. But I don't know that that necessarily is true based on the numbers of hitters against high velocity versus the more manageable fastballs that are in that, you know, 90-ish mile an hour range that they are going to be able to time up more. But yeah, I think that, you know, the stress on the elbow from breaking balls and throwing the slider in particular has been something people have been concerned about over the years. I'm not really of the opinion that Spencer Strider adding a curveball contributed to this, but, you know, who knows ultimately? Yeah. I mean, we're going to hear from him eventually on what exactly it could have been, how he felt it. You know, did he change anything? You know, it didn't look like it to me. And this is a guy who's already been through Tommy John surgery and felt like he had really rebuilt his entire mechanics and the whole platform on which he is going to perform to be more efficient and to not have to go through that again. And here he is in that kind of gray area where it seems like the most likely outcome is a very lengthy recovery from a surgery he knows all too well.
Grant McCauley joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, which you can hear right here on 92.9 The Game. Grant, this would have been Spencer Strider's spot in the rotation. It instead today goes to Alan Winans. Is there any surprise he's the first guy to get the shot there in the rotation?
Yeah, I mean, it's timing, really. And honestly, asking, you know, Brian Snitker about, you know, the move and it being Winans over the weekend, he essentially said, look, we're going to try to get through each day and move forward and get into the next day in regards to, like, what other moves could we see. I think the most obvious longer-term replacement would be Bryce Elder. He's the guy with the most experience that's in AAA right now. And I think that we'll see him sooner than later. But they brought Alan Winans up just in case they needed somebody to cover some innings in the bullpen, with the idea, I think, that he could make this start against the Mets and then they could reassess their literal and figurative options as they go forward. But I still think that it's a Bryce Elder situation ultimately moving forward as the bigger fix for this rotation. But as I talked about, you know, on some of the other shows and things that I've done in the last, what, 3 or 4 days, you don't replace a Spencer Strider. So they're going to have to figure out a way to just fill that spot and then assess as they go along, and maybe this is finally the year that the Braves go out there and look at getting a starting pitcher at the deadline of some kind of impact variety, and maybe that's where they'll end up eventually, but they're going to explore some of their minor league depth first.
I've liked what I've seen out of Chris Sale. We've seen the nasty pitches. I mean, he had a swing and a miss and still hit the guy. Your thoughts on him? I just want him to stay healthy. That's been his big issue.
That's really it. I mean, and when we talked about spring training, I know you guys heard it from me, and it's not really – you know, anything that was, I think, a big surprise about Braves spring training, there weren't all these storylines. Ronaldo Lopez winning the fifth starter spot, I think that was one. Seeing how left field was coming together was another. But otherwise, I just kept saying, if this team stays healthy, they're going to be where they want to be this year. And now they're dealing with a loss of, you know, their most, I think, you know, they're the front of their rotation anyway. Maybe not their most important pitcher, but if not, he's 1B. Everybody's going to be important. And now, to go back to your point and your question, Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez become even more important to the Braves' success. And the health of Chris Sale in particular is something that he very much wants to have intact for an entire season. I think that he's able to build off of his success last year in staying healthy for the most part, making those 20 starts for the first time in, what, 4 or 5 years, then having an entire healthy offseason to ramp himself up. I think the Braves are excited about what he could offer. And the first couple of starts from Ronaldo Lopez have also looked great. So both of those guys, along with Max Fried and Charlie Morton, the holdovers, are going to be counted on just a little bit more, even though, again, there's no replacing Spencer Strider.
Max Fried kind of struggled out the gate, but after giving up 6 runs, Abel's bringing up the fact he retired, 9 of the next 10 hitters. Nothing to see here, right? No big deal.
I don't think so. I mean, it's unfortunate. And that start in Philly and that bad strike call or that missed strike call that could have gotten him out of that with a little bit of an opportunity to go ahead and reset and get back to the dugout. Well, he was out there for 43 pitches and they had to pull him. Now, he just kind of got ambushed by a very good Diamondbacks team who hit him hard a couple of times, but also they're just flat out good. Like, they're going to be a club that's going to be in that playoff picture. They've already shown that they can make it all the way to the World Series last year, so they're looking for more. That's a good team. And Max, to his credit, was able to kind of settle in and give the Braves at least some innings after that 6-run first inning. But he's going to have better first innings, I have to believe, based on the track record. He just needs to get that all figured out, have a nice, easy one, and get himself going deep into a game so he can start feeling maybe a little bit more like himself.
Grant McCauley joining us to chat Braves and other things MLB. I don't even know how to say this, Grant. I mean, we were, a lot of us, a day, a game, an at-bat away from being done with Marcell Ozuna. His turnaround since May of last year has been simply almost unbelievable, and it's continued to start this season. What are you seeing that's just working for him really over the course of the last 130 games?
Yeah, I mean, he's just gotten back to being, you know, the best version of himself at the plate, and that might sound cliche or whatnot, but I don't really know how else to describe it. Last year was obviously a career year for him, 40 home runs, 100 runs knocked in. Obviously, the power has carried on over to this year. He's leading the club with five, nearly had a sixth one the other night, which would have changed the outcome of that opener against the New York Mets. But, you know, he hits the ball hard consistently, and his swing seems to be pretty much locked in. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, we talk about him a fair amount. But when you look at the Atlanta Braves lineup, everybody is going to fixate on Ronald Acuna Jr. and then Matt Olson and Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies. And it's just kind of on down the list. So there's Marcell Ozuna, the only DH in baseball with 40-plus homers and 100 ribs last year. And he could do it again this year. And if he does, we're going to have – to have a different conversation, which is not, oh, Marcell Ozuna almost played himself off the team, but it's going to be, how can the Braves not pick up his $16 million option for next year? Because he's a critical part of the middle of that lineup.
Was there one seminal moment last year where he turned everything around after the month of May? Was there a certain moment, or what was it specifically?
Yeah, he went down to Miami and hit off a slider machine that was broken. And because of the way that the machine was reacting, it just had him looking a little bit differently at his timing. And that's something that he talked about. And I was like, wait, you hit off a broken pitching machine and that's what fixed it? I'd never heard anything like it, but you can't argue with the results. Maybe that just had him just change a little bit of how he was seeing and, you know, going, getting everything started. And maybe it made him a little bit more patient. He started hitting bombs off Sandy Alcantara, which last time I checked is not the easiest thing in the sport to do. And the confidence came back too. And that's a huge part. You know, being confident at the plate, seeing those results, nobody wants to walk up to the plate and look at a 50-foot screen that says you're batting 085. And Marcell Ozuna is one of those people that probably wasn't enjoying that either.
The broken slider machine kind of expanded his vision subconsciously, I guess. That's crazy,
yeah,
dude.
It's, again, a story I'd never really heard anything quite like that before. Just go hit off a broken pitching machine that's not, you know, reacting properly, and it will fix your reactions to major league pitching. That's just unbelievable.
Dad's out there, turn your kid into a catcher and get yourself a broken slider machine. Grant, thank you, brother.
You got it. Take care, guys.
That's crazy. I had never heard that story.
I had not heard that part of the story.
I wonder what the break of that slider looked like. Was it extra? Or what? Weird. That's fascinating. All right, what's coming up? Got a little back page action. Bo, what we got?
More history made this weekend at WrestleMania. More numbers keep to just pile on in and pile on in, man. It's staggering.
This weekend alone is its own history textbook for wrestling.
It 100% is. Like, you thought the viewership for the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four was big? Yeah. Oh. WrestleMania blew them out the water.
All right, that's coming up next. Andy and Randy got Tribble. We got Abe, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. It's Andy and Randy. We got Tribble. We got Abe. We got Bo. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Alan Winans on the mound for the Braves tonight. Game 3 of the 4-game series with the Mets. That's a 7:20 first pitch. Hawks, Charlotte over at State Farm. That's a 7:30 tip time. Masters, first round tomorrow, about, 8:45. Weather's looking great this weekend, by the way, for the Masters. What is it? 8 of the last 14 Masters champions have been LIV golfers, too. So it's interesting how those two worlds are now converging together as one. So,
That's an unfair stat. There were not the whole time because LIV wasn't around.
I know,
but
the appeal of getting him over.
Yeah,
there,
but if they don't win the Masters, is the LIV even interested? I'm just saying it's a little screwy bookkeeping. That's all I'm saying. A little screwy bookkeeping. Now I got a problem tonight here, Rob, because it is trivia night, and so I'll be at the Dunwoody Mellow Mushroom. Hopefully putting in work, getting it done. You know what I mean? Getting that gift card.
What do you
win,
house cash?
Yeah, 50 bucks for first, something like that.
That's fine.
Something like that. They're not great keepers of the TV over there.
Oh, no.
And between having to ask them to switch to the Braves game.
Yeah. And you don't want to bother them if they're in the weeds, especially. Can you turn the channel when they're trying to make some money on tips? They don't care about you.
Do they want the tip?
From other people that don't really care.
Now, I don't believe that I should have to ask any place that has TVs. If you have TVs, it's for sports. You're
luckily,
not putting up reruns.
Universal joint where I go, they know what games we want to see.
I don't think I should have to ask, but I will. Probably multiple times.
Are you customer emeritus? Or are you always in there?
Yeah, every
then,
Wednesday.
Then you
yeah.
should have that courtesy yeah. then.
I also
I'm
tell them
with you.
Exactly what channel it's on. Because Braves, they have DirecTV there. Braves are going to be 646. Hawks are going to be 649 or flip-flop, whatever.
There you go.
So I come prepared, but I have to ask every time. Normally it's just one game. Now I'm going to have to ask one on this TV, one on that TV. It's I don't know. It might be a problem.
Struggle is real, my friend. Let's get to the back page.
So what off the top of y'all's heads, what were the viewership numbers for the NCAA basketball tournament? I know the Iowa LSU was 14 million. Then I think the championship beat that at like
18.7, and the men's was 14 and change. Yeah.
So you take all three of those numbers.
Oh.
And then you double them.
Wow.
And you'll be right at around what the Sunday viewership was for WrestleMania. Keep in mind, this is a two-night event. Sunday alone, in a 24-hour time span, 67 million views for night two of WrestleMania that saw Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes.
What do you mean in a 24-hour time span?
Well, because it's available on Peacock if you missed it.
So how many? But so does that number take out any multiple viewers?
I don't think you're going to sit there and watch three.
I think there's a lot more people than
not within 24 hours.
You don't think people rewatched part of it?
No.
I
in
do.
The first 24 hours, I think you probably watched it and you're exhausted from the whole freaking show. You may have a couple days later.
You watch a little bit
67
back.
67 million views, dude. That's freaking crazy.
In spite of the hair splitting, that's still sick. That's absurd. So then what was the best before that? I'm sorry.
What was that?
What was the best before that?
I can find that out for you. But it's up. They've always
it's
had
always done well.
Otherwise,
like it wouldn't
yeah.
exist.
But this
as
was
well.
A record for a WrestleMania. So.
It's also a lot more people can get it in terms of Peacock as opposed to when it was like a truly a pay-per-view.
Well, but it's
way
been,
before WWE
it
Network.
It was WWE and, Network before.
But I'm saying even before
been,
that.
Well, that's been many years.
Yeah, but I think more people so have
had
Peacock
to pay
naturally.
Bucks for a pay-per-view.
Yeah, people have Peacock naturally more than WWE Network.
Yeah, but you still got to pay for the network.
I'm waiting for UFC to hook me up with like the pay-per-views. If because you could sign up for
go
UFC.
Onto a streaming network.
Well, you could sign up
pay-per-views?
For UFC Fight Pass, but you still don't get the pay-per-views.
Oh, so what do you get?
All this
the
other
ESPN Plus
jiu-jitsu
content?
Competitions.
Okay.
Probably Power Slap, I hope.
So the following night at Wells Fargo Center, that's the arena where the 76ers play, also in Philadelphia, they sold so many tickets and packed so many people in this place that they didn't even use the Jumbotron. They used a smaller little TV and a little entryway that had some LED boards on it and stuff. They put over 20,000 people into Wells Fargo Arena for Monday Night Raw, which is the Raw after WrestleMania is always a big one, and it was.
It's a good idea to piggy. Do they always do that, piggyback an event at like the basketball arena after a big stadium event?
Yeah, typically the Raw after WrestleMania, something happens or someone makes a return or a debut, which there were a couple debuts on Monday night, but I mean, nobody, you know, not going to get into all that. But look, the numbers behind this thing are absolutely staggering. It's going to be a fun little future here for WWE. Speaking of history, and you heard it in Caleb's sports update, Jackson Holliday, MLB's number one prospect, has been called up by the Baltimore Orioles. He should play today after playing 10 games with the Norfolk Tides. Now, everybody was kind of wondering why he didn't make the big league team.
I was too when I saw that.
Now, he has not yet played enough to give them the whole control of another season thing.
That's
what we were thinking that it was, but they're calling him up before that. So good for them.
Mm.
Jackson Holliday in 10 games with the Norfolk Tides hits a paltry 333 with 2 home runs, 9 RBIs, 5 doubles, 12 walks, 8 strikeouts.
Ain't no seeing eye singles either. He was belting stuff like 110, 114.
He's good.
Not to mention getting the 12 walks too, disciplined eye as well with the power.
One would imagine that Paul Skeens with the Pittsburgh Pirates, he will be next. It's just a question of
unless
when.
He tears
the Pirates
his arm.
Are off to a pretty good start.
Unless he shreds his elbow first, throwing 104.
Don't throw that on that poor kid.
Just a coincidence here, Bo. MLB TV, free game of the day, Baltimore Orioles, Boston Red Sox.
Purely coincidence.
I'm sure
that's been on the calendar
for months. That decision was made previously.
Speaking of history and diamond sports, are y'all familiar with who Jill Amba? I hate mispronouncing names, but I feel like I'm going to do this here. Albiati.
Jill Albiati.
Albiati. We're going to go with Albiati.
Is she a looker?
No? I don't think I do.
It surprises me that Abe's never heard of this.
I thought it was going to be like some rogue athlete that I am familiar
Jill
with.
Jill Albiati on Sunday made history by becoming the first female to compete in a Division II baseball and softball game in the same day. All right, so check this out.
What school?
Cal State San Marcos, Division II. Now, this was previously done by a Division III athlete playing in a baseball game. Cal State San Marcos baseball team, they're down four pitchers. Three of them were starters. They were about to hold open tryouts, which maybe, Rob, you could have gone over there and done that. When the softball coach said, hey, we got this girl that plays on the – she plays on the U.S. national baseball team. She's a third baseman with a cannon. So she plays a softball game where there is a walk-off grand slam earlier in the morning, 4-3 win for Cal State. Then she changes uniforms, goes over, gets in the dugout of the baseball team, gets called in the ninth inning, faces seven batters. She did allow two runs, three hits, one walk in the inning. Then she changes back, goes, plays the second game of a doubleheader for the softball team, goes 2-for-6 in a 4-2 victory.
Well, good for her. That's kind of cool.
That's freaking crazy. And then she goes back, and I guess to the baseball.
And a third baseman. She didn't get an at bat in the baseball game.
No, she
I
didn't.
Wonder if pitchers at college the pitchers don't hit anymore.
They didn't when I was there either.
They didn't. Oh, so
well, Division II.
It's becoming a kind of an epidemic where pitchers are not hitting anymore. I know some junior college pitchers that are just going all in on pitching, which could be part of the reason why we have elbows.
You never know. There's a thousand different reasons.
So y'all mentioned the Masters earlier, as the Masters does start tomorrow. And whether anybody gave a crap about the whole LIV versus PGA thing, well, here's Scott Van Pelt on that.
It seems that we're headed towards some conglomerate of sorts. They just have to figure out the money. So I just don't think LIV versus PGA Tour exists. When Rory, who was the Jon Snow drawing his sword, ready to fight all comers, was like, we probably ought to figure this out. Like, your most staunch advocate for the fight laid down his sword. So I just don't think it's even a topic of conversation. And mostly, people don't give a shit. I just don't think they give a shit. All they want is to see the best players play in the same event, and they get that starting Thursday. So
I kind of tend to agree. Who
cares? I'll tell you where he's wrong. It's not about Rory McIlroy laying down his sword. That's a misread of this whole situation. The thing about LIV versus PGA is no one cares enough about the regular tournaments that they miss these golfers, and they still get these golfers in the majors. If it had been a situation where the LIV golfers were not allowed in the majors, you would have a real LIV versus PGA discussion.
Well, that's what the original situation was.
They thought it would be. They thought it might be, yeah. But with them allowed to play in the majors, it's irrelevant. Because there are plenty of golf fans who tune in every single week and actively watch every tournament. There are a lot more people who are just watching the Masters, the PGA Championship, the British Open, U.S. Open.
When LIV has those bottomless pockets, too, with all those the arms money and the petrol dollars.
Oil money runs deep. So I'll tell you what people do tune into golf to watch, and that's Tiger Woods. Tiger is supposed to play on Thursday. We have no idea how long he will end up staying in. Here's Tiger Woods talking about how much pain he's in.
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot. And I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot.
Breaking news, Masters moved to June after Tiger Woods says he prefers it warm and hot.
Tiger proofed the Masters again. I don't guess that'd be Tiger proofing. That'd be now we're going
aiding.
Backwards.
Yeah. He needs help. I don't know, man. Like, just give up the game if you're hurting and aching every day. Like,
it's Tiger, though. Can't do that. I'll tune in. If Tiger's going to play Thursday, I'll watch when I can. If he doesn't play Friday, I'm not going to watch.
You know, would you watch this weekend, though?
Yeah, if Tiger plays, I'll watch this weekend. If Tiger doesn't play, I'll watch Sunday.
Watch Sunday, yeah. Tune in about 4 o'clock Sunday to get the final four or five holes, right? All right. What is the most important story of the day? What is it? We'll tell you next, top of the hour. Andy and Randy, Tribble. We got Abe. We got Bo. Sports Radio, 929 The Game. I didn't do the woo. That's an Andy and Randy
woo!
Thing.
I added it to the folder for nothing.
It got used. Andy and Randy. Andy on vacation. Randy taking a day off. He'll be back tomorrow. We got Abe. We got Bo. Before we get to the most important story of the day, here's something I just saw. Track athletes at the Olympics getting prize money.
Yes,
50
yes,
grand for a gold medal. That goes for men and women. In the relays, they'll split the 50 grand.
They'll run faster now.
They'll run faster
is
now.
Is that not how that works? They'll try harder?
I would try a little. Well, they're going to try hard as it is. A little harder, though, for that 50K. That's not
bad. There are, in jokes aside, there are some countries where the extra money will matter. U.S., they get paid a little bit anyways, plus.
But that's a nice little.
But there's also the thing we think about, like, oh, yeah, like Noah Lyles needs another 50K to run fast. There are also other events, javelin, hammer throw, some of the field events.
That'd make a big difference to them.
Steeplechase.
Right.
I mean, can you name the top American steeplechaser?
I used to. Okay. I used to know the top eight back in 1992, yeah, but so not anymore.
Not anymore. but, yeah, you know.
It violates the spirit of the Olympics. Well, says the officials that are so corrupt and they benefit mightily.
Well, and then even more so, not this Olympics, but in the LA Olympics, they're going to have money for silver and bronze. Which
yeah, that's
I
starting in 2028.
Think,
that is
I think
correct.
That will assist even more across some of the countries that maybe don't have the same ability to put money into training programs like the U.S. does, like Jamaican track, Canada. Canada's got fast guys too, man.
All right, let's do this.
You know who might get some of that cash, by the way?
Who's that?
Your boy out of Georgia.
Oh, come on. White Lightning.
There you go.
What's his name?
I'm blanking on it, too, so that's a problem. Matt Bowling.
Matt Bowling. Yep.
But Matt, they also had the Georgia unofficially set the indoor 400-meter world record this year, a guy out of Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive. You know, Arkansas is normally the big SEC.
They get it done, too. Florida's won a number of them. Yeah.
But Arkansas used to be just almost a dynasty. All right. What's the most important story of the day?
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatments for joint pain. Bow!
We had the lead at 1.2. You know, I think you want to stay aggressive. And we had a few good looks that didn't fall. So, you know, as I said, I don't really begrudge that, you know, as long as guys are confident and they're playing for each other. And, you know, I thought we did a few things that were pretty good to get to spots. It's always hard to get wide open looks late in the game.
It's Quinn Snyder talking about wasn't too upset with the shot selection last night. They just didn't fall. Had a bad night. It's going to cost you. Does that mean that Trae Young plays tonight? To get his legs under him for the postseason. I hope he does for personal reasons. You know, I'm there. And plus, I would like to see up close how things look with him in there as they try to figure things out, especially going into the offseason. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? Or are they both going to stay? Jonte and
Trae. I'm not sure this 3 or 4 game stretch is going to be the determining factor necessarily. I'd like to think they have a general idea of the plan right now.
Well, you know what? You contradicted yourself because you actually opined sitting out those 20 games. Did Trae learn anything about how to coexist, maybe.
All right, you want to know how I save this?
Yeah.
Because if he did, it won't be a 3 or 4 game stretch.
No.
It'll be a win in the playoffs. We're going to go to Boston, beat the hell
out of
those
guys. Sure,
but
you're laying the building block, so you will see a pulse of them. We're really bogging down in too much of the minutiae. But
I'm excited. I would like to see him return. I'm excited to see it. I am interested. We talked about this earlier. Does he come off the bench or does he start? Does he let the game – would Quinn Snyder let the game play itself into – a rhythm first before adding Trae into the mix? Do you bring it right off the bat? Does the injury to Jalen Johnson maybe change a couple things in that realm?
I certainly think that would, right, as far as your rotations?
I don't know if it – overall, yeah, I don't know if it changes. Like, if Jalen's in there, would Trae have sat? But since Jalen's not your star, I don't know to that extent if it plays a role. But
what is there to play for in these last – you're pretty much already slotted in the play-in. Are you playing
for a home?
You're
definitely in the play-in. Yeah. You theoretically could catch and pass the Bulls. They need to lose. You need to win a couple times.
And that means a home game.
It would be unlikely, and you'd still have to go on the road for the second game. The worst case scenario, or excuse me, if you do have you're an 8 seed no matter what. There's no way to get to the 7 seed. Nope. I don't even mean in the regular season. I mean through the play-in round, you're stuck. Even if you win both games, you're going to be the 8 seed. You're going to face the Boston Celtics, who are locked in as the 1. But, I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. Is this just me, Rob? Like, does the potential of Trey kind of reignite a little bit of juice into these last three games of the season? I get excited for everything. Like, I was excited last night. I don't know.
I'd be excited to see him get his legs arm ready for the play, and the Hawks hopefully win that. They have done pretty well in them the last couple of years, right?
I'm not suggesting this is going to be this scenario, but like, what if he does come in and does do those things?
Yeah,
like the ball's moving. What if he comes in and like all of a sudden it's like I said, the world opened up as he was sitting on the sideline, and it's like I can
a
do
light
this.
Bulb
I can
moment.
Do...
Yeah,
and what if he comes in and they're just like, I'm not. I mean. It's Charlotte, so you take what. But like, what if they pop like 150 to 103 tonight?
Drop a 150.
I mean, like, why not?
Why not?
Like, because this is the whole point, right? If you bring the elite offensive player that Trey is into the system and keep those guys involved, how much better is the system than it was with DeJounte? And I'm not even focusing on the defensive side of things. That'll take care of itself, or it won't.
I just hope we don't have a blow it up scenario in the offseason and have to endure a 5-6 year rebuilding.
It's going
to
be tough tonight, anyways, because, like we said, if you missed the second part of the game last night, if you weren't tuned into the overtimes either, Jalen Johnson does roll his ankle pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to get off the floor under his own power. He walked back to the locker room. It doesn't look like it's, you know, crazy,
but he just did it a month ago, though. It's the same ankle, too, I believe.
You never know high ankle, low ankle.
Yeah. And high ankle, well, you're out for a while.
You've also got a situation, Rob, that sometimes it just looks bad, and the actual limitation on the ankle isn't that much. Like, we've seen guys where we thought, oh, my God, that guy's going to be out a month after seeing that thing turn. He's 8 minutes later, they taped it up, and he's
back. Go back to Max Fried, the World Series? Yeah, you know, that looked horrible.
It's sometimes it just kind of works. So, we'll see, but... I'm not expecting him to play. I am expecting Trey to play. And then we got the other situation come Friday is Karl-Anthony Towns for a team that looks like they could potentially win the Western Conference.
Right.
Is been out for a month with his, what is it, calf injury for him or whatever.
Not
it
playing
was.
Tonight. That's definite.
And so they've said he's not playing tonight. But there's potential that, and they're trying to do the same thing with Karl-Anthony Towns. Get him back into the flow of things. Get him some game action. And so we actually could have not just Anthony Edwards on Friday night, but also Karl-Anthony Towns making his return. And obviously the Hawks going up to Minnesota, and then they'll wrap up their season at India at the Pacers. So that could be a tough one to keep an eye on, too, though, if Kat returns.
You bring up Anthony Edwards, and clearly what a wonderful, explosive player he is. We're going to have to replace the faces of the NBA pretty soon. LeBron's not going to be around forever. Clearly, Steph Curry, 35. Who are those people going to be?
Yeah, I think Luka more than anyone.
Joker doesn't care to be.
He's too good to not be, whether it's by choice or not.
But he doesn't want to deal with any frivolity off the court, though. He just wants to go home to his horses.
But he's there. Ant-Man is interesting because he's right on the precipice of, like, when is the next step for him?
Yeah.
And he's already an incredibly talented
player. Dropped 50
player.
Last night.
But the question is, when is he – his next step is when he becomes undoubtedly one of the five best players in the league. And he's real close. He does it on all aspects, offensive, defensive, teammate, all that stuff. He's very close to being one of the five best players in the entire NBA.
Yeah,
I think him and Joker, Luka, Wemby certainly
Wemby,
is.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about now we're going back to the face is not necessarily one of the top five. But
right.
And he's probably going to be there in 2 or 3 years as well. But, yeah, in terms of the faces of the league, yeah, Ant-Man, Wemby, Luka Doncic.
Chet Holmgren.
You could have, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, though. Yeah. Jason Tatum's kind of – he's got to win a title if he wants to.
He does, but he's right there, too. And that's an important thing for the NBA because eras of the NBA are identified by 2-3 guys. Every era is. When you look back on it, that's who
– I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that few, though.
Yeah.
I think it's more like 8 to 10 guys.
But back in the day, though, it was Bird Magic, and then
well, yeah. But you had
on the tail end of Dr.
slide
J.
into Jordan. There's yep. Isaiah that's right. going on there. Right. There's Barkley in that era, and it kind of gets a little messy. But I feel you. Hey, did I ask you about this about the Cooper thing in the Hall of Fame? Did we talk about that? We talked about it on and off the cuff a couple days ago, didn't we?
What precisely
about the NBA Hall of Fame? And Michael Cooper getting in?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
It's kind of like slightly surprised, maybe, but really not. Larry Bird called him. He was the toughest guy that ever
guarded me. You seemed
almost
as equally surprised that Chauncey got in.
I kind of was a little bit, yeah. But if you go back and look at the body of work, you know, it's not fair just to hear somebody's name and judge them immediately.
Chauncey was a leader of that franchise, Detroit.
He was.
Won multiple titles, did his thing. But he's also in the area where we've got prime Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Prime Kobe Bryant, you've got a number of those sorts of dudes. Chauncey wasn't like those dudes.
Is he like the musician's musician? You know, there's those musicians who don't quite get the fame and fortune.
Well, are you a big stand-up comedy guy?
Yeah.
Like Brian Regan. Brian Regan is like discussed pretty widely among comics as one of the best comics
and clean,
of all time.
Clean comedian, too.
Clean comedian. He's one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the pull of...
He's not selling out arenas necessarily.
Right. No.
No. Didn't he come to State Farm though? Hadn't he gotten? To
I don't know.
Level?
I don't think he was at State Farm. He would have been at like the Fox or something.
Okay, which still isn't bad. Yeah.
No. But he's a guy that's like the players view him differently than necessarily the fan base.
All right. Coming up next, the unintended consequences of NIL, and I think they run pretty deep. I've thought a lot about this. I don't begrudge kids getting paid, but at what cost? Ultimately, that's coming up next. Andy and Randy, we got Abe, we got me, we got Bo, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
You know, judge him by the face, he talks about the people going under.
This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store.
It's your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 404-726-0929 is the number of our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And also get ready for AME, Ask Me Anything, Ask Us Anything, 404-726-0929 there as well. Hit us up on the socials. As I've been saying all week, I'm an open book, naked, vulnerable. Ask me anything you would like. All right.
I'm glad that's not a literal truth today. The naked part would be a little off-putting. It'd be tough to focus.
You'd be blind by the pastiness. I'm as white as this piece of paper.
You did call yourself a pasty Dutchman
pasty
yesterday.
Dutchman.
So.
All right. NIL, have always been all for it, but what are the unintended consequences? But at what cost? You have these kids in high school, basically all they have is a bit of a reputation and a very flamboyant, wonderful, explosive highlight video, and they're expecting to get paid and paid a lot based on potential. Okay, people are willing to do that. People are vying for their services. That's how the market works. You know, they're going to offer you so much, we're going to offer you a little bit more. But what are the long-term consequences of it is what I'm wondering about. Because you have a lot of these kids. Number one, you have zero executive function until you're 25 years old. That means you can't really process the consequences of your actions or your statements or anything like that. You're clueless. Now you have a 19-year-old kid that's suddenly the breadwinner in a house, and he's the leader of the household. He's not being held accountable. He goes to a college campus. Is he going to be entitled? Is he going to be coachable? Is he going to look at his offensive coordinator and think, I make 10 times the money you do, old man? You know what I mean? You're driving great coaches out of the game as well, Nick Saban. They don't want to deal with the nonsense either. And like I said, I get it, but what's the ultimate cost? And if you erode the great coaching in college football, how's that going to affect the pro game and the development of these players who are seemingly going to be entitled, are going to feel like they arrived, are going to lose that edge, are going to lose that urgency to get better? Is it going to erode their work ethic? I don't know, but I wonder.
There's a couple things that I look at and think that maybe I was naive personally. Maybe I didn't understand the impact this would have. The first thing is it's no longer been about the football. And
it's not everything but.
Or basketball. Right. It is now about maximizing your ability to earn. And I think it's working backwards.
And enhance your social media brand.
I think when they introduced the idea of NIL, it was like, okay, these guys who are the schools are profiting from are now going to be able to profit as well.
And that's great, but what's the ultimate cost?
It has turned into a much more direct pay-to-play than I thought it probably would be. And a lot of that has to do with no legislation. It's state by state, school by school, have their own rules. It needed all that's its own thing. I was completely naive on this, Rob. I was way wrong about the benefits of it because I really thought it would be a positive for the guys who deserve it to be able to get a little scratch while also focusing on their career path, which would be maximize your ability playing football and eventually, like you said, develop. And I think there are way – I mean, you look at – and by the way, it's not just NIL's problem. The transfer portal has added to this.
Yeah.
The transfer portal has doubled and maybe tripled the impact of NIL. If it was NIL without the transfer portal, you'd be stuck – making very serious life decisions, and you have to stand by that decision, right? You'd have to stay at that school.
Not anymore.
But because of that, it has now turned into, I could stay here, or I could go here because they're offering my money. Yep. And the next year I could go somewhere else because they're offering. I think the transfer portal has actually probably had a bigger impact on the impact of NIL than NIL itself. And I think that's very unfortunate.
It's true, and I've heard Rusty.
Football's not number one anymore. It's just about how can I monetize myself.
That's what it is.
Development of your skill set, and by the way, that's also what makes the guys who are focused on the right things so much better, so much different than maximizing yourself. The guys that are focused on the right things, and that doesn't mean you can't have a car. Right, Carson Beck? Doesn't mean you can't have a car. But what did Carson Beck do? In a year, he could have turned pro. He wants to work on some things.
Yeah.
He wants to continue to
develop. Apparently, he looks great, by the way. Even a little bit better and sharp and everything else.
But when I look at Carson Beck, I don't look at Carson Beck as a guy that stayed in school because he thought he'd make more of the college this year than a guy who would make in the draft and turn
pro. Yeah, he's staying because I need to get a little bit better.
He's staying
for the
right.
And maybe this quarterback class, too, is like, I don't want to be a part of that.
And you know who else is doing that? And short, like we're picking on Georgia here because they're the team. You know who else is doing that? Is Gunnar Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Gunnar Stockton could go elsewhere, get money, probably be a starter right now.
Yep.
But what is he doing?
He's staying.
He's
and
learning
there's no
from
guarantees because you have Puglisi pushing him.
That's right. He's learning from Carson Beck, who's going to be probably a first rounder, potentially a Heisman candidate. He's learning from Kirby Smart, who has put how many guys, over 100 guys into the NFL in the past 4 or 5 years. Right. You see the differences of guys who are in football to be football players and the guys that are in football, as you say, right, for clout, for money. For that doesn't mean they can't be good players. You can also be a good player while looking at the wrong thing.
What are the long-term consequences going to be, especially for these kids? When you're that young and you get that much money, and you've never really accomplished anything to get that money outside of being highly touted out of high school, what does that do to a kid's psyche? That makes him entitled. That makes him self-obsessed.
From the football perspective, the long-term impact to me is there needs to be more emphasis on scouts.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the collegiate player will be coached to the point where they're ready to enter the NFL. So what does that now do? Places emphasis on scouting. But also an emphasis on coaching when they're at the NFL level. You did not have to coach guys at the NFL level in previous eras because they played 3 years of college football. They did the things you needed them to do.
Well, you did, but you had to coach them in a more mature way. I know exactly what you're saying.
I'm not saying a complete lack of coaching in the NFL level.
I know exactly what
you're
saying.
You didn't have to take something raw and develop it. Unless it was later in the draft, I think you're going to have scouts noticing things more and more on top prospects because they haven't had the development that they needed to at the collegiate level. From that perspective, that now takes it back to your point about do players come into the league? And a lot of people may say this about Caleb Williams. I don't know.
I don't know. I think
but
about that
is
too.
Caleb Williams Hollywood?
Yeah.
We've heard the rumors. He don't want to play for that team. He wants a part of the ownership. are we going to see more of those complaints from not just the number one overall pick or a quarterback, but from all sorts of guys? Marvin Harrison. I'm not suggesting Marvin Harrison is like this. I'm just using him in this example. What if you have a receiver that's one of the best receivers in the country and says, I don't want to go to that team. I don't like that quarterback. He's not good enough to throw me the ball.
You're going
to
see it. That's where
we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But you're going to see that.
You're going to see that.
And so do we get a lot more draft holdouts? Do we get, yeah. I don't know where it unravels itself towards.
Where's the bottom on this as far as all the chaos?
The bottom
goes?
Of it eventually, because here's where it really ends, Rob. The college players can do whatever they want, and the college game can do whatever they want. When the NFL steps in and puts pressure wherever they need to put pressure, whether that's on Congress.
I think they're going to have to.
Whether it's on Congress, whether it's on the conferences, whether it's on the NCAA, wherever the NFL feels we need to step in here, they have the power to step in and enact change. And whenever it reaches that boiling point where the NFL goes to its congressman, because I think it needs to be done at the federal level, the national level, not state by state.
But are private schools immune because they don't get any government money?
Then you're not going to get any draft picks. I think the college.
Is Notre Dame a private school?
Yeah. But I think they're playing by the rule. I think they're playing by the same rules.
I understand that.
I think that if the NFL says we need to get this back to how it was, they'll find a way to do it.
Something's going to have to happen.
But they're not enacting themselves on this right now.
And again, I do not begrudge people going out getting as much money as they possibly can. But what's the ultimate cost to the product that they are profiting from?
You're also losing coaches.
That's a big thing.
And I mean,
you heard Rusty Manziel. He's talked about players come in week by week. I need an extra 10 grand. I need an extra 15 grand. I need this. I need that. Yeah, parents coming in. Yeah, great academics. How much are you going
to
pay us?
So we start to develop a line of coaches that are able to better deal with this than, say, Nick Saban was in terms of handling it internally, understanding that's the rigors of the job.
Well, you just have these bloated bureaucracies in football offices in college.
So that's now what the emphasis of coaching is.
Yeah.
Do you lose what you need to have on the field? What Kirby Smart can do, what Saban can do.
I think the product's going to ultimately suffer a little bit. It's sad. But like I said, for the longest time, it's nice the players can profit, but now it's gone too far to the other extreme. We have to regress back to the mean somehow, some way. AMA is coming up, 404-726-0929. Ask us any possible thing. Now, when is the, what's it called, the slap fighting? What's it called?
Power slap?
Power slap. Is that Friday?
Yeah, Friday
night. Is it pay-per-view?
No.
What can you find it on?
It's on an app called Rumble.
Rumble?
Which I don't have. I'll just watch it on my phone off of, the link. Because you can watch it, off of a link that Twitter redirects you to.
Because what I've seen, it does crack you. It's funny.
It's the best. I love it.
It's pretty cool. All right, going to come back. Let's do the AMA. Andy and Randy. Well, it's Abe and Rob in for Andy and Randy. Dukes and Bell, are they here? Are they at State Farm? I don't know.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.